Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power, but we're going to be taking it up a notch a little bit, because today we're going to be talking about how to be, well, shall I say frugal, but more economical in dealing with, well, those things that we have to do every day, cleaning, cooking, other such items, which are just a factor of life. And I have the most delightful publication in front of me. It's called Lemons and Lavender. It's the Eco Guide to Better Homemaking. Now, the term homemaking, you don't hear that very often. But the author, Billy Sharp, is a lady. She's from England, and she has an attitude about homemaking. She's perfectly at home with it. And Billy, I want to welcome you to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thanks for having me.
I thought your book was absolutely charming. And it was so much fun to go through. You had comments from different people that this is a book that shows you how to be kind to your pocketbook, how to be ecologically savvy as far as not bringing toxic substances, you know, into the water and so on and so forth. But I really think that you're so down to earth with this. Billy, what is it that for you as a woman made you decide you were going to take on a project like this? Was your mother this way? I mean, was she one of these people that said, this is what we do, this is how we don't do it, this is healthy, this is unhealthy? Was your mom of this temperament?
Well, I think she probably was, although when I was growing up, my mom wasn't keen for me to kind of learn the kind of homely arts. She was like, you know, she was more encouraging for me to get an education and have a career. But when push came to shove and I started a family, she was very forthcoming. And, you know, she grew up, she was born, she's in her mid-70s now, so it was very austere times in post-war Britain. I mean, they continued to ration food for a long time. So people, you know, her parents, you know, they grew an edible garden. My dad's family grew these Flemish rabbits, so they would have, you know, fresh meat. And, you know, people were very thrifty, and you know, the quality of your life depended on how smart you were about managing your resources. And, you know, because of our lifestyle, I mean, well, our life choices, my husband and I, my husband's a musician and I'm a writer, and so all those tips came in pretty handy for us.
Yes, I can understand that. Now, you came to the United States in the 90s, and I think you've brought up some very good points. The environments that we grow up in, depending on what they are like, have a big impact on our thinking. And just about anybody I've ever known that came up through the Depression, when I would listen to their stories, and I would sometimes find out about younger members in the family, and they would fuss at their older members saying, oh, you, they just don't get it. They save the wrapping paper, they save this, they save that, they save the other. But again, when you've gone through times like that, you don't forget them. I don't care what generation you're in. And the term frugal is something here in the United States I think more and more people are working with. And I think it's healthy myself. And we have sometimes been described as a throwaway society. And there is a turning about with that. And that is what your book, Lemons and Lavender, goes into. And you talk about freeganism. And I had to laugh at that word and you say Freegans, and it's Freegans, employ alternative strategy for living based on limited participation in the conventional economy and minimal consumption of resources. And I thought, boy, that's a lot of words to say. If you don't have the cash, you've got to become inventive. You have to look at what other options can you work with. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And I really think that you give some absolutely marvelous idea about trading and bartering and being aware that you've got to save and not just spending money without conscience, which is often what we do with credit cards. I mean, this is something you don't see it. You're not having to deal with it. And I can remember there was a time when people just, to have a credit card, boy, oh boy, that was really something, but not anymore. They dole them out like candy. You're really into, and especially, like you said, because of your lifestyle, in being wise and saving. And you have some fun tips in here. What are some of the tips that you'd recommend?
Well, I think my biggest tip is more of a theoretical guideline, and that's this idea that there's something wrong with being thrifty or making frugal choices. I mean, I really think less is more a lot of the time, and when you're talking about credit cards, this idea that, you know, you can spend beyond what you have it doesn't really work for people. And I think that we have to come back around and realize that, you know, we do have this incredible wealth, but it's not to do with a surfeit of abundance. That, you know, being wealthy is having lots and lots and lots and lots of stuff. We are wealthy because we enjoy an environment to live in where we have power and we have water and we have food and we have roads and we have schools and we have all this basic stuff. And I think a readjustment, instead of hankering after a lot of material stuff, we just start enjoying what we have and what we need, and not just accumulating a lot of stuff. Because I think we're realizing now that this mindset that we've been in for the last 50 years was really just an expression of feeling that we'd arrived as a species at a place where we had the potentiality for a lot of stuff, but we don't need everything that we can have. And I think you enjoy the things that you need more when it's the environment isn't too cluttered with stuff that, you know, I mean, hey, anyone who's ever done a yard sale has to know what I'm talking about. They just think, oh my God, where did we get all this stuff? And it's been down here in the basement for 10 years and we never used it. And I think that we're coming to a place now where we're redefining what we need and what we want, and feeling better about having less. I mean, I definitely think that, you know, austerity and thrift have been, you know, given, you know, it's like, oh God, we're not in that situation where we have to think about our resources. But we you know, it's our responsibility to ourselves as individuals and to our culture to not overindulge and to make really conscious decisions about what we're doing with our resources, and then we're going to be able to sustain ourselves in this form for longer, and I think enjoy life a little more.
Now, you have a very nice section on health, and one of the items that you bring out in this is witch hazel. And I had to chuckle because I was in my local bank and I was doing a transaction, and a young lady said to me, oh, Mrs. Siebel, do you have any suggestions? I have been bitten so badly by mosquitoes. that I just don't know what to do. And I couldn't think of witch hazels. There were some other things that I came up with. And I, later on, when I went on a couple of days later and I said, I want you to know, I neglected to tell you about witch hazel. She said, I haven't heard anybody say anything about witch hazel forever. And you have a wonderful write-up on it, and it should be a part of everyone's medicine chest. You know, it's wonderful to put on any kind of skin inflammation, insect bites. It's really quite a fabulous product. And in the United States, I think it's sort of gone away. It's sort of like baking soda. People don't think of that very often. And I learned from someone that's very wise about keeping balance in the body. Let's say if your pH balance, all you need to do if you've had too much acidity in your diet for the day is just take a little tiny amount, like maybe a quarter of a teaspoon of baking soda and a cup of water, and that balances out your system. And I thought, yeah. Wow, here's something that's pennies, it doesn't cost much of anything, and it keeps just about forever, and you can have that handy. You have all of these little tips that are very, very economical and very healthy. But I want to get into the essential oils because I know that many of my audience really enjoy the information on essential oils. And how did you get interested in them? What caused you to become aware of them as something to have around on a regular basis?
Well, you know, my first introduction to essential oils was really through Louise Bark and Louise Hayes and the Bark remedies. I saw those little bottles and I thought, well, that's interesting. And my interest grew from there. But really, you know, my big inspiration was when I started a family and I had a baby and I, lots of little things happen with kids. And, you know, when you're a first-time mom, you know, your first instinct is to go to the doctor. And a lot of stuff I felt in the end, you know, it was an overreaction to go to the doctor. And I had to start looking at you know, remedies that I could realize at home. Because a lot of things were really mild, like a little earache. Was it, you know, was it an ear infection or is an ear infection starting? Well, what can we do, you know, to work with that? And that's how I started using essential oils, really. I mean, lavender has just been, if I only had one essential oil, I would use lavender. It has so many uses. I mean, I keep it in my first aid kit in the car just because it's great. And even if all you need to do is calm someone down, then it'll do that. But, I think a lot of, we have this great body of information which is encoded in the Western medical system. But, you know, often as a society or as a culture, we have a tendency to sort of throw the baby out with the bathwater. And just because antibiotics work and steroids are amazing and we have all these advanced medical technologies that we use, you know, we shouldn't neglect the things that people used for thousands of years. I mean, witch hazel is a really good example of something that's, you know, very effective and very affordable. And, you know, you can just have it in your cupboard and you can use it. You know, you don't need anyone. You know, you begin to have more competency around what you can use things for. And I think that everyone should have a few essential oils, just because they're really effective, and you can stave off having to go to the doctor. And I mean, because I grew up in England, where going to the doctor wasn't the same procedure as here, but I know from living in the States for 20 years that a lot of times people can only go to the doctor if it's absolutely imperative that they go, because they're not insured or their insurance still incurs an expense for the visit. So being able to treat things at home successfully saves on those visits. And I think it also empowers people to to be in a closer, conscious relationship with their body. And, you know, because we are our body, we're not like a mind with an extra appendage. We're all, you know, we're an integrated system. And I think it's really gives you a lot of confidence to be able to diagnose yourself and treat yourself. I mean, obviously, if, you know, a few days down the road, things, you know, the cut isn't looking good or the cough hasn't gone away, then sure, go to your professional. But a lot of times it's just about having that competency to deal with situations yourself with very, very simple, you know, you don't have to worry about treating yourself with essential oils or, you know, these kind of natural remedies, because if it doesn't work, it's not going to hurt you. You know, mm-hmm. You can't overdo those on aloe vera gel, you know?
Right. And that's something I know in the SIBO household, we have a number of aloe vera plants, and they've come in handy more than once. You talk about free cycling, and there's a free cycle network where you can put things in and people can go in, and if they need them, they can get them for free. And you talk about the naked lady parties, and I had to chuckle when I came across this, because there was a friend of mine, and this, oh my goodness, this was about 10 years ago, and we had gotten together for lunch, and she gifted me with this delightful brooch. It was a very old brooch. It looked like something from the 50s. It was very colorful, gaudy, one of those 1950s-style brooches. And we got to talking, and I asked her, where did you find this? Because it was so unusual. And she and friends, for a number of years, had the equivalent of your naked lady parties. They would get the jewelry and even some clothes. They would bring it together. It was party time. The things that they really didn't want, but they didn't want to give them away to Goodwill, so they'd have this party, and anybody could exchange whatever they wanted. And she said it was so much fun because I was able to get new jewelry that I could swap around. And she said, we just keep it circulating. And when I saw this in your book, it brought that back to my mind. And I thought, this has to be so much fun. And you do this with your friends, don't you?
Oh, yeah. We do it a lot. And we also do it with... you know, the guys aren't so great at getting together, but often when we get together, people will be like, you know, my mum gave my husband this sweater, and it's, you know, I mean, really the idea of circulating those kind of goods, you know, clothing, jewelry, etc. It's just like we all, you know, our culture, you know, very accumulative, and so we buy a lot of stuff and we keep a lot of stuff and we look in our wardrobe, and you know, sometimes, I mean, you know, I like the year rule. If you haven't worn it for a year, it's time for it to come off the hanger and go to the naked lady party, because you know, sometimes you like things a lot but they didn't, you know, you got them home and they didn't work and you're sad that you spent all that money and you're not going to wear it. But it's really great when you pass that stuff on and someone else gets the benefit of it. And I just want to say to, you know, to everyone who thinks of doing this, put it out there to your friends and say to people, hey, it doesn't, you know, they'll go, oh, I don't have anything nice, or, oh, you know, they just bring it, and whatever doesn't get shared or swapped, picked up by someone, we'll just take the rest to Goodwill. I mean, it's kind of the pre-step before Goodwill, because I think that, you know, you'll find that most of the stuff will go anyway, but people, you know, also have that, you know, fear of you confronting their stuff, and then what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to have this huge bag of stuff in my car. But it's such fun to do. We always do it with kind of a potluck, and you know, some people are more kind of just everyone puts their stuff out and no one hangs around. We tend to do more of the hey, everyone look at this, or hey, I'm thinking you for this, Jane. You know, it's just like often it's more personal, and we're sitting in a circle and we're, you know, sharing stuff and doing funny sales pictures or telling the story, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, you go
so it's social shopping, I would say.
Yes, and I think that's a marvelous way to get people together, because I think women especially, like you said, the guys don't necessarily want to do that kind of thing, but with the gals, it's a wonderful way to be social. It's a wonderful way to have a chance to communicate. And again, recycle things. I went to one event where they said, if you have anything that you want to bring that you no longer desire, we have a table. It was a meeting. We have a table. Put your stuff out on the table. Well, there was about 20 women that were there, and I had brought some items, and I just put it out on the table. And 2 hours later, I went back to the table. There was nothing I wanted, and they were gone, the items that I'd put there. Someone had picked it up and said, I can use this. And I think that that is significant. And it was an environment where that's what the purpose of this table was for. And the understanding was anything that was left on the table might end up going to the Goodwill or to a shelter for women or something like this. And the participation was marvelous. People really enjoyed it.
This kind of sharing idea, taking back the idea that all transactions are mediated, you know, fiscally, is just a place. I mean, you know, I feel like although we kind of look at our history as humans and talk about, you know, ancient history, I feel like we're really young, and our social institutions, even though they go back thousands of years, it's not a static event. We're evolving all the time, and this idea that, you know, getting something for nothing or sharing things in different ways than this strict, you know, I mean, strict ideas about, you know, how you acquire things. We should be more flexible, and we've created a lot of stuff in the world. I mean, I have a personal rule that when I'm buying new things for myself, those new things have to adhere to certain criteria. They have to be, you know, non-toxic. They have to have been created without exploiting anyone. You know, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm trying, if I need a new T-shirt, I want it to be sustainably produced. I want it to be organic. I, you know, that's really expensive. So the other way I do things is, you know, buy recycled stuff, either from charity mm-hmm. shops or consignment stores. And, you know, people often say to me, well, but, you know, you don't get that much choice. And it's just like, yes, you do. They're just different. They're just different choices. You're going to see different things in a charity store than you're going to see in a department store. But a lot of the time, you're going to find new stuff that, like, if, you know, people are like, oh, I hate the idea of wearing stuff that other people have worn. Well, okay, I understand that. Oftentimes, you'll go to a charity store or even more so with a consignment store, and people have bought stuff. I've done it myself and got it home and thought, why did I buy that? I look dreadful. Or I hate that shop assistant. Why did she tell me I look nice in this? Itchy and it looks wrong, you know. That stuff turns out. So, I just think, you know, a lot of these things are, and what I'm really trying to say in the book is we don't have all the strategies that humans have developed at our fingertips, because you know, as time goes on, things change and wisdom gets lost along the way. But, you know, we have this great body of information to draw on, and the only thing we have to do to really happily access it is drop these assumptions that there's only one way to do it, and the way is buying it in. You know, we can make stuff, we can grow stuff, we can swap stuff, we can share stuff. And I think it's, you know, it frees you up to think about the other things that you want to do in life. And, you know, this whole idea that happiness is just buying in stuff, we have to change. I mean, it had a place. It expressed the extreme wealth of our whole society 20, 30 years ago, but we're in a different space now, and the way to be happy in the situation we're in now is to think differently about what we want and how we're going to get it.
I find that so many of the things in your book are really very, very intriguing. Not new, really, but a couple of items were. One, you talk about how art is free, and you describe your section as the craft of reimagining, taking something maybe that you've had instead of throwing it out, looking at how you can make it different. Like when you have kids, you find that they're growing, their tastes are going to change, they're going to want to maybe do different things with whatever is in the room. Maybe you don't have a huge budget. I've known of families that have gone through such difficult times, and the mother who, and I think of Janet with a great deal of fondness, she would just like your word said, reimagine what she could utilize, because they were going through such difficult times financially. It went on for about 5 or 6 years. And her kids were growing up, and they didn't want to be left out, so she'd say, okay, let's see what we can do to create something different, and she involves the kids in it, and they would have a good time. And she said, I can just reinvent the wheel. Sometimes you're not able to do that, but for those 5 years where they went through such very difficult times, they did, and she said it was amazing how well they got along and how much money they were able to save. And one thing that she gained from the experience of what I'd call really, really serious budgeting. I mean, sometimes they'd be lucky if they had $10 extra a month. I mean, it was really tight for them for a long time. She said just what you said. She learned what she could live without, but she also learned how to adapt, and I think that's very important. You have in here a section on cleaning. You go into a lot of detail with that. But I think the one really fascinated me is how to make your own paint. And you say homemade eco paint. Now, I want to share this with my audience because I know we've just got a little bit of time. You take 2 cups of wheat flour. Any flour will work. Some prefer results with bleached flour. 6 to 7 cups of cold water. 3 cups of boiling water. 1 cup of screened clay, and you can get that at an art supply store. 1/2 cup of mica filler, which you can get at an art supply store. And if you want to have a color, you can use a natural dye. And I was just fascinated with it because I thought in a million years I would never think, I'm really serious about this, in a million years I would never think of making up my own paint. And here is a recipe for what you describe as eco paint, and you just use it. I mean, you can use turmeric as a color.
I
it's
got
amazing.
That recipe. From my godmother who lived in Lyme Regis in Dorset, and she lives right opposite the harbour, and I have 4 godbrothers, and we had a little sailing dinghy, and you know, the 4 guys tramping in and out of the house, a couple of dogs, and we had this bathroom, and it just kept getting, I mean, it was just always looking, you know, kind of dirty, even though it wasn't really dirty. And then my godmother went to Greece for a holiday, and she came back and she said, God, I just love the way that when the paintwork looks dingy over there, they just paint it, they whitewash. And so she came up with this recipe, you know, and you have to sort of, I mean, you know, it's one of those, is it firm enough? Do I need a little of this? Did I put too much flour in? Should I add a little more water? But basically, this is a really good whitewash recipe where you just, you know, you just make up a bucket of this stuff, and then, you know, she would paint the floorboards and paint the kind of splashback, you know, the wall around the basin, and, you know, the bathroom would just be wonderful and white again for, you know, a month or so, maybe a few months. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's these kind of things that, you know, because you don't know, you sort of think, oh, I can't do it. But lots of really, really easy ways to, you know, keep your house looking great without spending a lot of money. And I know that the eco cleaning section, it's a little dull reading, but, you know, really, no one needs to spend money on household cleaning preparations. You can make your own little essential oil, little borax, little, you know, vinegar. If you've got, you know, you can clean your whole house with vinegar and water. And it's really good. There's no toxic residue and there's minimal expense.
Well, you have so many wonderful tips in this book. Yeah, there is. It's just so much fun. You've even got recipes in here, and I know that we're out of time. And if you want a handy-dandy book that has a lot of wonderful suggestions, Lemons and Lavender, The Eco Guide to Better Homekeeping. You've heard about a recipe for paint that she got from a family member because they didn't have a lot to work with. So if you are curious about what maybe you could do to make your dollar stretch so that it is going to be more coinage in dollar bills, maybe in your savings account rather than going out, this is a book I think you might enjoy a great deal. It's delightfully laid out. Wonderful stories in here. Lemons and Lavender, again, The Eco Guide to Better Homekeeping. Billy Sharp has been my guest. Billy, you said you can go to vivaeditions.com. That's vivaeditions.com. And you'll find information about this book and some other publications as well. Thank you so much, Billy, for being my guest. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you'd like to chat, is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight, which I would be more than delighted to do. And one of the things that I wanted to say, again, 888-627-6008, I don't know about you, but every one of us goes through lean times. And I can remember a girlfriend of mine and her mom had, well, she'd had my girlfriend late in life. And when I got to know Emma, this woman had survived really, really tough years. And she had two children. She was a single mom. She had been in a very rough situation. She didn't have a whole bunch of education. And she was working in what was then a major department store. And I can remember how this woman would shop for bargains. I'm telling you, she would shop for bargains, and when I was a young mom, I was a single mom, and I didn't have much money, and she said, okay, this is what we do. And do you know, she'd sit me down sometimes and say, okay, what do you need, this, that, or the other, and she'd keep her eyes open for sales and anything special. And do you know, I can remember when she would shop for me, and she would do it. We made an agreement. We'd often split groceries, and maybe eggs were on sale. And we all watch for sales, don't you? I do. Well, she would enable me to have protein in my diet by finding the sales on eggs. And at the time, when I was a young mom, eggs often went on sale. Well, that's one of the best sources of protein you can ever have. And it was very inexpensive. So she'd say, I can buy XYZ amount, we'll split it, and you get this, and I get that. And one of the things that Billy brought out in her book was you can make a loaf of bread, for example, for $1.15. If you go out and you price a loaf of bread, you might find some bread that you really wouldn't want to eat necessarily that you might be able to get for $1.15. But more often than not, it's going to be $4 or $5 a loaf, especially if you're interested in having good nutrition. So all of these things, when you become aware of it, you look at it and say, what can I do with this? How can I make this work? How can I do things that are going to be economical for me? And how can we do things together? And when I say together, you might be able to find a friend that you can go and buy foods in bulk and you divvy it up. I've done that through the years. I mean, who needs 25 pounds of potatoes? But there are certain places, I know here in our neighborhood, where we can go buy food in bulk, and I can divvy it up with friends. I'll say, do you want to go in halves or fourths or however we want to divide it up? And everybody's pleased as punch because their budget will stretch. So there's all kinds of ways to save money. And I just thought I'd make that comment because I know what it's like to really look at a wallet and maybe only have 50 cents in it. I have had known those days. And it's not fun, but yet you can make it happen. And I know of a young couple whose husband, and this has just been in the last couple of years, this young couple, they have two children. The husband and wife both are working. And they were in debt to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars because of the husband's education. It was like $150,000 to $200,000 that they had in debt that they were paying on. They had a house. They had all kinds of expenses. And finally, the couple decided, they did this together. They said, okay, we need to find, we're going to sell our house, take that money, most of it, put it down on the loans, whatever we're able to get out of this, and then we're going to really be very frugal. They got rid of their cable. They went down to basics. The mother said, we are going to do X, Y, Z. There was no excessive spending in any way, shape, or form. And do you know, they were able to take care of that debt because they were so prudent. They were able to do it in under 3 years, pay off the entire debt. And someone that knew them made the comment, I think what they're doing is stupid. Well, it's not so stupid. This young couple, and they're in their 30s, with their young children, they said, this is what we have to do because we have to be able to save money for our children's education. But not only that, carrying this debt is just wiping us out. We are so stressed. We're fighting. We're getting into all kinds of issues. Let's go for less. Let's be more prudent. So they shopped around. They found another place that they could move into. The home was rather small. And eventually they'll probably get a bigger place. But this place that they purchased is going to be a rental when they're ready to move into a bigger home. So they're going to have an income from this. They thought this out, and they worked together on it. And I think if any of you are listening and you have a level of debt, you need to look at a situation with an attitude of, what do I do to remedy my situation? And what can I do to take a positioning of personal responsibility and not look at how much I don't have, but look at what I do have and what can I do with it? It really is amazing to me when we make up our minds. And as Billy said, having more stuff is fine. But being able to live with a debt-free environment is even more important, I think, because the stress of having so much debt can really, really wear you down. Donna Sebo here, by the way. And give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. I'll light up your life with a little bit of insight. That's right. It's free, and all you have to do is call me up, and then let me tell you what I perceive, and then you also are welcome to ask a question. As you know, when you listen to this show, I really have a passion for animals, and I am so supportive of rescue groups. You know, I came across this delightful story that I wanted to share with you about a woman by the name of Peggy in New York. She had had a couple of dogs, and sadly, one of her dogs passed away. And the one dog that she had was so lonely, oh, just so lonely, missing its companion. And she and her husband decided, well, we've got to get our beloved friend a pal. We really need to do this. So they went through a rescue group. Well, they found this wonderful dog, fell in love with this dog, and its name was Moses. Yes. And Moses is this absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous golden retriever, wonderful personality. So they meet the mom, who was the foster mom for the dog, because in the rescue groups, many times animals have to go through a period of adjustment. Sometimes they've been brutalized terribly. Other times there may be someone that just, either they're elderly, they can't take care of the animal anymore, or maybe people have moved. You know, there's a lot of military families that had to leave their animals behind. So these rescue groups do just an incredible job. And there are these foster homes that dogs go into. So Peggy goes into this foster home and finds that this woman, Kathy, has Moses, and, oh, this dog is just wonderful. Well, they take Moses home. Their dog, who is 7 years old, Moses and Kelly were not too far apart in age, and by golly, do you know, they started fighting. They were absolutely not getting along. And if ever you've had a pet that you introduce, and if you have other pets in the house or a singular pet like Peggy did, and they don't get along, oh my goodness, it is unbelievable. Well, they tried everything. She called the foster mom, Kathy, and she said, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? These dogs are just, they absolutely dislike each other with a passionate passion. I just don't think we're going to be able to keep Moses. Well, what evolved is when Peggy took Moses back to Kathy, Peggy was just so upset. You can imagine. She and her husband fell in love with Moses. Moses is just a wonderful dog. However, when she took her back to Kathy, Moses was just happy as he could be. And Peggy said, I don't understand. And Kathy said, well, you know what? I think this is working out for the best. She said, I didn't realize how much Moses meant to me. And the two of us created such a strong bond. I just think Moses wanted to come back home. So Kathy ended up adopting Moses back, not just as a foster mom, but as a full-time dog mom. And then Peggy ended up finding at a shelter a wonderful spaniel that Kelly just loved. So she had two different breeds of dogs, but they were happy as they could be. And what evolved out of this is that Peggy and Kathy became very good friends. And they even visited Moses periodically. Sometimes things turn out a little differently than we expect. But in this case, the dog ended up being in the home of his real dog mom. And Peggy ended up finding another dog that Kelly just loved having as a companion. Sometimes things have to go around in a circle of action that enable us to realize that everything really can be in its right place in its right time. But sometimes there has to be a little upheaval so that we are able to recognize what is the right place in the right time for especially a dog, a cat, or some other pet you might have. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. The telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. Oh, by the way, tomorrow we are going to be talking about 5 steps to thrive. Let me tell you, Carol and Paul have an awesome story to share, but more than that, I love their book. Their tips are excellent, and I just think you're going to enjoy it. We're taking a break. When we come back, more good things to share. But if you'd like to chat, too, I'm available. 888-627-6008. 6008. We'll be right back.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top-of-the-line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. A couple of tips here, 15 minutes. That's magic time if you're trying to lose weight. Why is that significant? Well, what they have found is that if you feel like you've got a craving or you need the munchies, well, if you wait 15 minutes, maybe have a little timer, wait 15 minutes, get busy doing something else, you're going to find that maybe you don't have that urge. And when you have smaller portions of food, that's going to enable you to lose weight. I just am flabbergasted with a friend of mine. She has eliminated 60 pounds of weight after a serious medical crisis, not because she's starving herself. She said, I just cut down my portions. And she had been battling with weight for years, and that simple step. And when I came across that information on the studies that they've done, I said, it's worked for my friend Virginia. So perhaps that's something you can do too. Also, do you find that when you get on the computer, it is really tough for you to get off? Mm-hmm. Well, I know the feeling. And Andrew, while the MD, he said he shuts off his tech devices at about 3 in the afternoon. He said sometimes it's so painful, but he actually finds that the craving he has to be on the machine is so strong that when he does that and he walks away from it, he said eventually the craving to be on the machine subsides. And people say, oh, you've got to be on the computer working much more than what you're saying. And he said, no, I don't, and I'm sticking to this rule. Because he said, otherwise, it just totally takes over his whole space. So, Andrew Weil, I mean, this is a man who is very renowned. He's constantly doing stuff. And he said, I got this rule, and I'm sticking to it. So that's a little bit for you. Also, I wanted to share a tip about insurance costs, since we were talking about saving money. I was surprised to hear that it's recommended that you comparison shop it twice a year. That was something I thought, twice a year you want to go out and comparison shop? And they say yes, because you may be discovering that things change in your life, in your environment, and maybe you're driving less. For example, with automobile insurance, maybe you are going to pay off a car loan or something's happening, and if you comparison shop every 6 months, ask them one question. If they can list for you the factors that can get you a discount, and then let them know your current status on each one. you might save hundreds of dollars. Now, who would have thought of that? Asking, what is it that empowers you to get a discount on your automobile insurance? I thought, that's something, how many of us even consider it? Could save you a lot of money. Also, if you have got a lot of tickets, automobile, you know, speeding tickets, whatever, what you want to do, you don't have to pay a sky-high premium. You can go to small independent insurers, and they will compete with national insurance company. Now, you will have to get higher risk coverage and then ask them what kind of discounts they offer. And just because you may have, for the moment, a blemished record, it doesn't disqualify you for a lot of discounts to people that don't have a problem with tickets yet. And also, when it comes to kids, you know, when it comes to insurance and teenagers, your premiums can be sky high. Well, they often have good student breaks for kids if they have got a B average in school or higher. And they say this also applies to college students. And their attitude, insurance companies have this attitude that if they're that good in school, then they're more responsible as people. And so consequently, the rates, there may be a break that mom and dad can get if they're paying for their insurance. And also, make sure you shop around if you are looking to move, because dependent on where you move to, your rates will adjust accordingly. And what you want to do to avoid moving to a high-rate area, you want to compare rates by zip code at carinsurance.com rate comparison. carinsurance.com/rate-comparison. And also, check out the rates for various vehicles because, again, it all depends on what they are and what those fees are going to be to you. So you can go to money.msn.com/autoinsurance. And you will be able to get quotes on what your insurance is going to cost you if you're going to be getting a new vehicle. All these little tips, there's just little things here and there sometimes that can save you dollars, that can make a great deal of difference. Oh, I've got to share something with you that a friend just told me about yesterday. And I thought, okay, and she did this because she has a male friend who loves to cook. And he calls himself a lazy cook. And he said, I love to cook with crock pots because it doesn't take any brain power. I can put stuff in, just leave it. And I love crock pots. I think they're wonderful. But she said, you know, you go and you put a chicken. You love roasted chicken at the grocery store. And she said, why not fix your own? And he told her, he said, well, you can, and it doesn't have to cost you a whole bunch of money. And you don't have to roast it in the oven. He said, you can put it in the crock pot, and it tastes absolutely wonderful. So she tried what he did, and I'm just going to pass it along to you in just a little bit of time we've got left. He takes aluminum foil, crumbles it up, puts it in the bottom of the crock pot. He then adds a small amount of water, and his chicken then he puts in to the crock pot after he's rubbed it down with his favorite seasoning. If you want taco, lemon pepper, whatever it is that you like. And then he puts it in his crock pot, and he lets it cook on, I'd say about 200, 250 degrees for 6 to 8 hours. And she said, it is absolutely wonderful. So I share that tip with you. That was shared with me, and I'll just pass it along to you because it is something, if you're like me, sometimes you don't have a lot of time to spend in the kitchen. That crock pot, if you take and put everything in your crock pot like my girlfriend does, the night before you want to cook it, if you've got a roast, if you're going to fix roasted chicken, put it all in the crock pot pan. Usually they lift right out of the crock pot itself. Cover it, put it in the refrigerator. First thing in the morning, you've got everything ready to go. Put it right in your crock pot unit. Turn the heat on. Off you go. It will work. And I thought, boy, Mary, you have saved some time, money, and effort. That's a good thing. This is Donna Sebo. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about how you can thrive. 5 steps. Don't miss it. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a magnificent day. We'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.